ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवी सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुधीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतिरुत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। So reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 1, Text 11. Etan nirvidyamanam Icchatham akuto bhayam Yoginam nirpanirnitam Harer namanukirtanam एतन् निर्विद्यमानानां इच्छताम् अकुतो भयम् योगिनां नृपनिर्णीतम् हरेर्नामानुकीर्तनम्। वर्ड टू वर्ड ट्रांसलेशन। एतत् इट इज निर्विद्यमानानां of those who are completely free from all material desires. Icchatam, of those who are desirous of all sorts of material enjoyment. Akutah bhayam, free from all doubts and fear. Yoginam, of all who are self-satisfied. Nripa, O King, Nirnitam, decided truth, Harehe, of the Lord, Shri Krishna, Nama, holy name, Anu, for after someone, always, Kirtanam, chanting. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Translation. O King, constant chanting of the holy name of the Lord after the ways of the great authorities is the doubtless and fearless way of success for all, including those who are free from all material desires, those who are desirous of all material enjoyment, and also those who are self-satisfied by the dint of transcendental knowledge. Purport. In the previous verse, the great necessity for attaining attachment to Mukunda has been accredited. There are different types of persons who desire to attain success in different varieties of pursuits. Generally, the persons who are materialists who desire to enjoy the fullest extent of material gratification. Next to them are the transcendentalists who have attained perfect knowledge about the nature of the material enjoyment and thus are aloof from such an illusory way of life. More or less, they are satisfied in themselves by self-realization. Above them are the devotees of the Lord, who neither aspire to enjoy the material world nor desire to get out of it. They are after the satisfaction of the Lord, Shri Krishna. In other words, the devotees of the Lord do not want anything on their personal account. If the Lord desires, the devotees can accept all sorts of material facilities. And if the Lord does not desire this, the devotees can leave aside all sorts of facilities, even up to the limit of salvation. Nor are they self-satisfied because they want the satisfaction of the Lord only. In this verse, Sri Sukadeva Goswami recommends the transcendental chanting of the holy name of the Lord. By offenseless chanting and hearing of the holy name of the Lord, one becomes acquainted with the transcendental form of the Lord, and then with the attributes of the Lord, and then with the transcendental nature of His pastimes, etc. Here it is mentioned that one should constantly chant the holy name of the Lord after hearing it from the authorities. This means that hearing from the authorities is the first essential. Hearing of the holy name gradually promotes one to the stage of hearing about his form, about his attributes, his pastimes, and so on. And thus, the necessity of the chanting of his glories develops successively. This process is recommended not only for successful execution of devotional service, but also even for those who are materially attached. According to Srila Sukadeva Goswami, this way of attaining success is an established fact, concluded not only by him, but also by all other previous acharyas. Therefore, there is no need for further evidence. The process is recommended not only for the progressive students in different departments of ideological success, but also for those who are already successful in their achievement as fruitive workers or as philosophers or as devotees of the Lord. Srila Jiva Goswami instructs that chanting of the holy name of the Lord should be loudly done and it should be performed offenselessly as well, as recommended in the Padma Purana. One can deliver himself from the effects of all sins by surrendering himself unto the Lord. Now one can deliver himself from all offenses at the feet of the Lord by taking shelter of his holy name. But one cannot protect himself if one commits an offense at the feet of the holy name of the Lord. Such offenses are mentioned in the Padma Purana as being 10 in number. The first offense is to vilify the great devotees who have preached about the glories of the Lord. The second offense is to see the holy names of the Lord in terms of worldly distinction. The Lord is the proprietor of all the universes and therefore he may be known in different places by different names, but that does not in any way qualify the fullness of the Lord. Any nomenclature which is meant for the Supreme Lord is as holy as the others because they are all meant for the Lord. Such holy names are as powerful as the Lord and there is no bar for anyone in any part of the creation to chant and glorify the Lord by the particular name of the Lord as it is locally understood. They are all auspicious and one should not distinguish such names of the Lord as material commodities. The third offense is to neglect the orders of the authorized acharyas or spiritual masters. The fourth is to vilify scriptures or Vedic knowledge. The fifth offense is to define the holy name of the Lord in terms of one's mundane calculation. The holy name of the Lord is identical with the Lord himself, and one should understand the holy name of the Lord to be non-different from him. The sixth offense is to interpret the holy name. The Lord is not imaginary, nor is his holy name. There are persons with poor fund of knowledge who think the Lord to be an imagination of the worshipper and therefore think his holy name to be imaginary. Such a chanter of the name of the Lord cannot achieve the desired success in the matter of chanting the holy name. The seventh offense is to commit sins intentionally on the strength of the holy name. In the scriptures it is said that one can be liberated from the effects of all sinful actions simply by chanting the holy name of the Lord. One who takes advantage of this transcendental method and continues to commit sins on the expectation of neutralizing the effects of sins by chanting the holy name of the Lord is the greatest offender at the feet of the holy name. Such an offender cannot purify himself by any recommended method of purification. In other words, one may be a sinful man before chanting the holy name of the Lord, but after taking shelter in the holy name of the Lord and becoming immune, one should strictly restrain oneself from committing sinful acts with the hope that this method of chanting the holy name will give him protection. The eighth offense is to consider the holy name of the Lord and his chanting method to be equal to some material auspicious activity. There are various kinds of good works for material benefits, but the holy name and his chanting are not mere auspicious holy services. Undoubtedly, the holy name is holy service, but he should never be utilized for such purposes. Since the holy name and the Lord are of one and the same identity, one should not try to bring the holy name into the service of mankind. The idea is that the Supreme Lord is the supreme enjoyer. He is no one's servant or order supplier. Similarly, since the holy name of the Lord is identical with the Lord, one should not try to utilize the holy name for one's personal service. The ninth offense is to instruct those who are not interested in chanting the holy name of the Lord about the transcendental nature of the holy name. If such instruction is imparted to an unwilling audience, the act is considered to be an offense at the feet of the holy name. The tenth offense is to become uninterested in the holy name of the Lord, even after hearing of the transcendental nature of the holy name. The effect of chanting the holy name of the Lord is perceived by the chanter as liberation from the conception of false egoism. False egoism is exhibited by thinking oneself to be the enjoyer of the world and thinking everything in the world to be meant for the enjoyment of one's self only. The whole materialistic world is moving under such false egoism of I and mine. But the factual effect of chanting of the holy name is to become free from such misconceptions. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakhaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakada Mahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhamritamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devaki Nandanaya cha Nanda Gopakumaraya Govindaya Namo Namaha Hare Krishna. Welcome all of you to this 7 days of transcendental ecstasy, because it's the World Holy Name Week. And as we started yesterday, Madhavananda Prabhu was actually saying that in Melbourne we are celebrating the Holy Name Week by Bhagavat Shravan. And we've been given a set of verses to speak on. And this verse is very, very important and very nice. And very interesting, this selection of verses also very nice. When Sukadeva Prabhu gave us this verse. Sukadeva Prabhu gave us this verse and Sukadeva Goswami is speaking about it. So, this verse was spoken by Sukadeva Goswami just after Parikshit Maharaj asks the question, the most important question. And what is that question? What should be the duty of a man at all times, especially at the time of death? To this question, Sukadeva Goswami starts speaking up in the second canto, and just before this verse he actually suggested that I will now speak to you about that Srimad Bhagavatam by which we can attain the lotus feet of Sri Mukunda. And now here he is saying, how do we attain that lotus feet? Etan nirvidyamananam icchatam akutobhayam yoginam nirpanirnitam harer namanu kirtanam. So, the crux of this verse is, the chanting of the holy name of the Lord is a definite way, no matter who you are. Yetan nirvidyamanana, those who are free from material desires, who are completely free from any desires, ichchatam, ichchatam means those who have a plethora of material desires for material enjoyment, and akutah bhayam, or those yogina, yogina means those who are yogis, who are actually by dint of transcendental knowledge, they have realized that material desires or material, going after material desires is a waste of time. Even for these people, the transcendentalists, the yogis and the devotees and the materialists, for everyone there is a sure shot process, which is chanting Harer Namanu Kirtana, chanting the holy names of Hari under the footsteps of acharyas, under the footsteps of those who have realized the sweetness of this holy name. Now, what's interesting is Parikshit Maharaj, when he asks, he does not ask the question, what should I do? He never asks a personal question. If you really see, the way of answering, questioning and answering is also very generic. Parikshit Maharaj is not asking, my dear Sukhdev Goswami, what should I do? But he is asking a generic, what should a person do? So, this indicates that the question itself is not sectarian. It's not sectarian. It is not saying, what should a Hindu do, or a Muslim do, or a Christian do, or a material do, or a materialist do, or a professional do. No, it is a generic question. What does it mean? It means that he's asking a question generically for human beings. For human being, what should a person do at the time of death? What should a living entity do? So, the question itself is non-sectarian. And the answer also, Sukhdev Goswami is actually in his verse itself, he is saying, it is non-sectarian. For whoever it is, there is only one process. Harer Namanu Kirtanam. Why? Because in the Srimad Bhagavatam, we already saw in the second verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Dharma Projita Kaitavatra Paramo. Dharma Projita. Kaitavatra Dharma. Kaitava Dharma has already been rejected. Materially motivated religion has been rejected. So Srimad Bhagavatam will not propound anything that is materially motivated. So this suggestion that holy name has to be chanted always is non-sectarian. It is the eternal dharma of every living entity who wants to escape this material quagmire, actually. And that is what Sukhdev Goswami is hinting. And what a beautiful occurrence in history that this was inaugurated by the Lord himself 500 years ago when he came as Sriman Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he established this process, Kali Yuga Dharma, because it is said in the Srimad Bhagavatam itself, Krite Adhyayato Vishnu, Tretayam Yajato Makhai, Dvapare Paricharyayam Kalau Tadhari Kirtana. So the Yuga Dharma, the Dharma of this Yuga is Harer Nam, Harinam Anukirtanam. It does not mean that Harinam doesn't apply to other ages. Harinam is transcendental. It applies to every time. It is transcendental, eternal, and it applies to all ages. It is just that any other process of liberation will not work in Kali Yuga. There is only one way left, that is Harinam. Because that's the only, the last thread we can hold on to from a transcendental reality. Because all other process like puja, yajna, or adhyayan, or meditation is not the time that we are in today's age, day and age, which is Kali Yuga, is not favorable for any other processes. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and established this, and he called as Harinama Sankirtanam, which is a panacea for all the ills of the society. It's very interesting because the times we are in today is actually a reminiscent of the miseries of today's society. We are in the midst of a pandemic. It has been 6 months now since we are in a lockdown. It's been 6 months since I've been working from home. That's what it means, actually. So people have been locked down in their homes. So much so to just depict that the helplessness of today's human civilization. It's helpless to what? To one creature which we can't even see with our naked eyes. And yet the entire human civilization, with so-called dogmatic scientists, are afraid to even go out in the open. So much helpless we are. So we are with so much advancement of materialism, All we can do is hide in our houses. That's all. So, and it is an established fact now that we have seen over the past many days and months that, especially in our offices, that a new employee health scheme has come out, specifically for mental health. Do you all know why? Because in offices, there are a lot of people who live alone. And many of such people have gone mad because they have to live alone now. Because all they knew in their life was work. Work in the office. So they used to stay there 12 to 13 hours every day, spending time drinking coffees and doing their material work and meeting people outside because they are alone. Now, because they are confined to their homes alone, many people have gone berserk. They have gone mad. So we have new schemes coming up in the company for employment counseling, employee counseling, mental health issues because of loneliness. What does it say? What does it indicate? It indicates that living entities are personal. They are not impersonal. See, these devices are impersonal in one sense. So how long can we associate with these devices? In fact, it is the same devices which actually make us impersonal. So it is a fact that we are all personal. We like personal association. We like to spend time with family and friends. And we like association. But what are we seeking through this association? That is the most important point. What are we trying to seek? Some may say we are trying to seek happiness, pleasure. But then, if that was a fact, then there were also people who were sad when things were still normal. When we were not in the pandemic situation, when things were normal, even then people were committing suicides. There were still then mentally distressed people, even among relationships. So when they are alone, there is a problem. When they are together, there is a problem. So what does it indicate? Everybody actually is searching for something, and that something, they are searching for absolute pleasure. That pleasure which doesn't diminish. That happiness which doesn't diminish. And that is what they are seeking. But most of them do not know that they are seeking this. And the Shastras claim that that absolute truth is actually Krishna. Is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Everybody unknowingly or knowingly are seeking Krishna, but they do not know how, or they do not want to know how. In fact, the entire Vedic research, the Vedic scriptures actually also try to preach the same thing. They all try to preach the same thing about the same absolute truth. Krishna says, Veda ischa sarva ahameva vedyo. Vedanta krit veda videva chaham. So I am only being fetched by the Vedas in the Shastras, Arjuna, Krishna says. But the problem with the Vedic approach is it actually kind of proposes it indirectly. You know, there's a problem of the Vedas. The problem of the Vedas, we discuss it in Bhakti Shastri. See, in today's education system, there are different subjects for different grades. We have our esteemed professor sitting here as well, isn't it? We have different subjects for PhD, different subjects for first grade, kinder. Different books are there for different classes of people. But there is a big problem in philosophy and dharma. Because there is only one book, Vedas. And the same Vedas are to be taught to the kindergarten students. The same book is used by the graduate students. The same book is used by the PhD students. The same book is used by the advanced philosophers. The books are the same. The scriptures are the same. But so the scriptures have to relate to all these classes of people. So sometimes the Vedas propound it a little bit indirect way, so it has to cater to all classes of people. Hence, Srimad Bhagavatam does not do this. Srimad Bhagavatam propounds the truth very, very straightforwardly, as we were discussing a few weeks ago, that it is Darshana Bhasha, it speaks as it is. So much so that even the last verse in Srimad Bhagavatam also talks of Harinam. It says, Nama Sankirtanam Yasya Sarva Papa Pranashanam Pranamodukha Shamanascha Tam Namami Harimparam. Nama Sankirtanam Yasya. Srimad Bhagavatam ends with Nama Sankirtanam. So this Nama Sankirtanam is the crux of everything, of any pursuit. What does this verse mean? It says, I offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Lord Hari, the congregational chanting of whose holy names destroy all sinful reactions. Now, When Bhagavatam propounds that you should do Harinam, Harinam Sankirtan, one may ask, well, Hari has so many names. Vasudeva, Madhava, Radha Vallabha, Aniruddha, Pradyumna, Vithala, Panduranga, Venkatesha. What names do we chant? Rama, Krishna. What names do we chant? What's interesting is, of all these names, what name should we chant? So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when Krishna came down as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he propounded one mantra. What is that mantra? Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Now the Lord, when He comes down, He does not propound anything that is not in the scriptures. So it has to be in the scriptures. What's interesting is, Srila Balladev Vidyabhushana, who is called as the Vedantacharya, he says, yes, there are so many names of the Lord, but every name of a Lord, there is a specific combination, just like a formula. And every formula has a specific result. Like Vishnu Sahasranama has a specific result. When we say, Vishvam Vishnur Vashatkaro Bhuta Bhavya Bhavat Prabhu Bhuta Krit Bhuta Bhavo Bhutatma Bhuta Bhavanaha. Now if you chant Vishnu Sahasranama, the 1008 names of Vishnu, there is a specific result you will get. So every name of the Lord gives us some specific results. But Baladev Vidyabhushana says, one must chant the names as it is in the scriptures. They should not manufacture their names. One should not manufacture new mantras. The mantra also should be as it is in the scriptures. So therefore, Baladev Vidyabhushana wants us that first of all, you should not chant any other mantra that you have concocted yourself. First thing, it should be in the scriptures. It should be propounded by Krishna in the scriptures. And second thing is, each mantra has a specific result. With this in mind, we have to understand what is the secret behind that mantra that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave us. We know that Kali Kale Nama Rupe Krishna Avatara Nama Haite Haya Sarva Jagat Nistara. That Kali Kale Nama Rupe means in Kali Yuga, Krishna has descended. Krishna has descended how? Nama Rupa. He has descended in the name of His holy name. In His name. He is available in the name of his own name. Because they say, oh, there is no avatar of Krishna anymore in Kali Yuga. No, He is there. He is there in the form of His holy name. And that avatari, Krishna, avatari Chaitanya Kaila Dharma Pracharana Kali Kale Dharma Krishna Nama Sankirtana. So that Krishna came as an avatar, that avatari Krishna came as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and through the mouth of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this mantra was propounded. Because this mantra, Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave us this mantra. Now, why did He give us this mantra, and what is the secret behind this mantra, we have to understand. Now, if you see, let us delve a little bit further of why the acharyas say holy name is everything. And if you see, chanting the holy names is not exclusive to Vedic practices. If you see any other practice around the world, be it Islamic or Christian or Jewish faith, everybody say you have to chant the holy names of the Lord. And Prabhupada writes in when we talk about the second offense, Prabhupada writes that any name of the Lord which is preached locally is also glorious. So that means there must be a crux, something to do with the holy name. There is some secret that the holy name reveals to us. If you see, even in the Navaveda Bhakti, what does the Navaveda Bhakti start with? Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, Archanam, Dasyam, Padasevanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Padasevanam, and then Sakhyam, Atmanivedanam. Of these three, what are the first three? Hearing, chanting and remembering. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam. Of what should this talk about? It should talk about the name, fame, pastimes and qualities of the Lord. Name, fame, name, form, pastimes and characteristics or qualities of the Lord. There are four limbs that we need to remember. So there are nine practices of bhakti. These nine practices of bhakti should actually meditate on those four objects of Krishna. What are they? Name, form, quality and pastimes of the Lord, Leela of the Lord. But of these four, Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes that of these four, the most important is the name. Why? Because the name is the bija, the name is the seed. Because when you sow the seed, the rest three manifest automatically. So that is why one may say, as Madhavananda Prabhu was discussing yesterday, one may think, what should one think when chanting the holy name of the Lord? But Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, actually one's mind should only hear the holy name. The only thing that the mind should think is, what is the sound that is coming out of my mouth? What is the sound of that holy name? So Nama will manifest the Guna, the Rupa and the Leela of the Supreme Lord, Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes. Because Nama is the Bija, the original seed. And therefore, the scriptures, Brihannaradiya Upa Purana says, Harer Nama, Harer Nama, Harer Nama Eva Kevalam, Kalau Nasteva, 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 Gatiranyatha. Why does the scripture repeatedly say this? Because there is something very secretive about the Nama Tattva. Because this Nama Tattva is the Nama of Krishna. Now Krishna is called a Shaktiman because he possesses all Shaktis, right? Now because of this Shakti only manifests that holy name into all of us, right? And many of us say, Nama, you say holy name is eternal, and we call it Nama Prabhu. We say holy name is eternal Prabhuji, and holy name is actually not of this material world. So one may argue, if holy name is actually generated out of sound, but that sound is material here, we are in this material universe, my senses are material. So Prabhuji, how can something material have access to spiritual? That is the question. So generally that's why they decry to say, oh, it is just that the Shastras want you to get into a habit of meditation. That's why they are trying to tell you to chant the holy names of the Lord. So somebody decries the holy name like that. So Rupa Goswami comes to the rescue to say, Atah Shri Krishna Namadi Nabhaved Grahyam Indriyaihi. Atah Shri Krishna Nama Adi Nabhaved. It is not a purview of this material senses. Sevan mukhehi jivha adav swayameva spuratyadaha. He's saying, when the tongue starts chanting or making the sound vibrations, definitely the tongue is material. But what happens is the sound that emanates from that tongue is not material. How? Because that Nama Prabhu starts manifesting on the tongue. And because the sound does not belong to this material world, the beautiful Shamasundara starts dancing on the snake-like tongue. He starts dancing when we start chanting the Nama, the holy name. Because that name is not the name of any mundane person, because it is the name of the Supreme Lord Himself. Abhinnatvam Nami Nami. Abhinnatvam means what? That name is not different from the Supreme Lord. And that Supreme Lord, actually in one sense, nothing is material. Isn't it? Everything connected to Krishna is spiritual. So when we chant the holy name, the tongue gets purified and the sound gets spiritualized. In fact, we see in the material world, when we have names, our names doesn't mean anything. I'm just taking the royal we here. And many of the names cannot be even sometimes very difficult to pronounce. And they have some names and then they are pronounced something else. For example, I had a colleague, his name was Hiten Mistri. I don't know which part of India he was from, but he was a second generation Brit. His name was Hiten Mistri. And the way the people there used to pronounce is Hiten Mistri. Did you see? Hiten Mistri became Hiten Mistri. Hiten Mistri. And they say, what tree? It is Hiten Mistri. So sometimes the names mean something, they pronounce something else, and the result is something else. But the Lord's name is not like that. The holy name is actually chanted, and when we chant the holy name, Krishna becomes manifest. But the catch is that the chanting of the holy name should be done in a pure state. That's what the Acharya state. Under the footsteps of the Acharyas. Harer Nama Anukirtanam. Now when we consider, what are the three aspects of bhakti? Sambandha, Abhideya and Prayojana. The first thing, Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes is, what is the sambandha of the jiva with Krishna? What is my relationship with Krishna? That is the sambandha. The process is chanting of the holy name and Abhideya. What is the goal? What is the goal of this chanting? What is that one can get out of this chanting?
We say we get Krishna Prema. But can we really get Krishna Prema? And what is this Krishna Prema? Who knows what is Krishna Prema? We say Krishna, if you say in the Guru Puja also we sing, where is that? Prema Bhakti. Prema Bhakti jaha hoite avidya vina sa jate vede gai jahara charito. So we sing Prema Bhakti. I want Prema Bhakti. I want Krishna Prema. So what is this Krishna Prema? One needs to inquire. That process. And the goal is not Krishna, but Krishna Prema is the goal. It's very interesting actually. So we will come to that point. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, initially when someone begins chanting, he begins with a stage called Nama Abhas. Nama Abhas means, it's almost like there is sunshine of the holy name, but there are clouds everywhere. So we can't see the brilliant sun, but it's been shrouded by the clouds. So that is the stage of chanting called as Nama Abhas. Nama Abhas means, one is chanting without realizing the benefits of chanting, without realizing that that name of the Lord is supreme and that name can give me or connect me with that supreme Krishna. So therefore, initially one begins with the stage of Namabhas. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur and the Acharya says, even if one chants in the Namabhas stage without offenses, very very quickly or eventually they will come to the stage of pure chanting. And thereby the sadhya, the goal will be achieved. What is that goal? Krishna Prema can be achieved. And therefore this verse was speaking about the stages that a sadhaka or a practitioner has to avoid. Now very interesting, when I was studying this, on one side we say holy name is all purifying and it can be chanted and there is no reservations of how you can chant, where you can chant, no restrictions. You can chant at any stage of life. It will grant you what it has to grant you. But at the same time, Acharyas also warn us about committing offenses while chanting the holy name. So there are some things that we definitely need to be careful of as a practitioner. Nama Bhasa stage is okay, but we should not go to the stage of Nama Aparadha. And this usually happens who are already practicing. People who are new to chanting, they wouldn't commit these offenses because they are, most of them are ignorant about the holy names. So at that stage, usually they are in the Nama Bhasa stage, not the Nama Aparadha stage. So the first Aparadha that we have to avoid, Srila Prabhupada writes, is Sadhu Ninda, to blaspheme the devotees of the Lord. And generally, Bhaktivinoda Thakur in this Harinama Chintamani writes that why does this happen? Sadhu Ninda happens usually because of non-devotee association. When we associate with devotees and non-devotees, usually this impurity percolates into the practitioner's mind. And there are chances that he might commit blasphemy of the devotees. And it's a very grave sin. And that's why it is on the top of the list. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur warns us that if somebody continues to do these aparadhas, it becomes very, very difficult to come out of this and cannot be pardoned at all. So, one can get stuck and cannot get the benefit of bhakti. So, they say, even if one commits thousands and thousands of sins, papam, it is still better than committing nama aparadha. So, therefore, so grievous is committing nama aparadha. So, one needs to be careful not to commit these aparadhas. Therefore, they can access the pure name or the Shuddha Nama directly. So therefore, what is the remedy? Our remedy is, we should accept the holy name and we should reject wholeheartedly the tendency to disrespect others. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes that if sometimes we cannot understand the behavior of certain sadhus, we must inquire from them. Putting forth very humbly, they said, I do not understand your behavior. Please explain to me, how do I understand it? So that we have to be approach the sadhus with humility. So to clear our doubts, so that they don't stand as offenses in our mind. So that's one remedy Bhaktivinoda Thakur suggests to save ourselves from sadhu ninda. And the second one, Prabhupada writes, to consider the demigods like Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma to be equal to the Supreme Lord. Usually this aparadha is committed because of wrong understanding of the shastras or the impersonal understanding of the shastras, to think that there are many independent reals and Krishna also is one of them. So this is one of the aparadh that we commit. And this aparadh is also at the lotus feet of the demigods as well, because it's an aparadh at the lotus feet of Lord Shiva and Brahma. They do not accept this. So we are committing sins two places, at the lotus feet of Krishna and the lotus feet of the Devatas. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, one must know the supreme position of Vishnu properly and the position of the Devatas, that they are the devotees of the Supreme God. So one must rectify his understanding by studying the scriptures properly and clarifying it from the senior authority, from the advanced Vaishnavas. And the third one is Guru Avagna. One needs to be careful not to offend his spiritual master, because a neophyte general tendency is, when you see your spiritual master, when we see our spiritual masters, he is also eating like us, he is also sleeping like us, he is also talking like us. So it is a general, sometimes because of the conditioning, we have come to understand, we come to the understanding that, oh, spiritual master also is like me, he is doing everything like me, so he must be like me. So and then we do not follow his instructions. So this is Guru Avagna or Avahelana in common parlance we say. So this also happens because of bad association and improper chanting or conditioning. So we should forgive, beg to forgiveness at the lotus feet of the spiritual master with a straw in the mouth, and humbly beg for forgiveness at the lotus feet of the spiritual master. And the fourth one is Shruti Shastra Nindanam. To criticize the Vedic scriptures, or any other scriptures that glorify the Supreme Lord. Why? Because it is written in the Mahabharata, Vede Ramayane Chaiva Purane Bharate Tatha Adau Antyecha Madhyecha Harihi Sarvatra Ghiyate. Any scripture, any Vedic scripture, Puranas or Itihasas, every scripture is talking only of Hari. Antyecha, Madhyecha, Adaucha. The beginning, the middle, and the end. Every scripture is talking about Sri Hari. There is nothing in the scriptures apart from Sri Hari, Mahabharata claims, because we cannot understand it and relate it to Sri Hari. We sometimes misconstrue that there are certain Vedic scriptures we do not teach about Hari. Actually, everything teaches about Hari. That's what they say. So therefore, we should not disrespect the scriptures. And then the fifth one is to consider the glories of holy name to be an exaggeration or false aggregation or for false glorification. You know, sometimes they think, oh yeah, yeah, the scriptures are glorifying like any other glorification of any other names. It tries to, this is called Arthavada. Arthavada means to excessively glorify, repeatedly, the same thing, to nail down the philosophy or the point. So it is not like that. If someone understands that it is like that, one has to humbly go and, they say, one has to put a straw in the mouth and has to go in the assembly of Vaishnavas and follow obeisances to all of them and say, I have committed an offense like this. They have to declare that they have committed an offense and beg forgiveness from the Vaishnavas. And the sixth one is to consider glories of chanting Hare Krishna to be imagination. It's imaginative. It's not imaginative. Krishna and Rama, the names are eternal. They do not belong to this material world and they are spiritual. And then the seventh one, Nama Balad Papa Buddhir, to commit sinful activities on the strength of the holy name. Bhaktivinoda Thakur quotes several of senior advanced Vaishnavas who fell down even while practicing. Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives an example where a sannyasi falls prey to a beautiful woman and he will get convinced that, okay, I will make this woman a devotee. So by my association, she will get purified. So by this, he falls down and becomes, using his power of chanting, thinking that he will uplift someone, he falls down by associating with that woman. So he falls down from his position. So Namna Balat Papa Buddhir, one should not commit sinful activities under the strength of the holy name. What is the remedy for this? Always associate with pure devotees. One who has tasted the holy names of the Lord, one should associate with them. Otherwise, we cannot come out of this sin, of this aparadh. The ninth one is very interesting because it says to instruct faithless person about the glories of the holy name. This is the biggest dilemma of a preacher, because majority of the people are faithless. So how do you give this holy name to them? Right? How do we understand this offense? Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes in the Harinam Chintamani, that the way to give this holy name is by loud Sankirtan. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has demonstrated that. And therefore our Sankirtan party goes out and does Sankirtan, Harinam Sankirtan. You know, when you want to make kids dance, now when my child was small, if you want to make a kids dance, you just bang something and they will dance nicely. They don't know why they are dancing, but they will just dance to the tune. But the same way, when we do Harinam Sankirtan, you will see people dancing. And they will dance like anything, like children. But unknown that their dancing is purifying them internally. And that's the task of a Harinam devotee. When Harinam, we see now devotees, even in the lockdown period there, I see one devotee going out every day. So what has happened? Because he is going out every day, my neighbor, they have two kids. I see them when he passes in front of their house, they immediately shout and run outside the gate and they start dancing. They dance and this devotee dances with them for about 10 minutes. They are already having at least all of their small books of Srila Prabhupada. Now, imagine, last week they asked, where is your food? Hare Krishna is supposed to be good for food. How do I get your food? So see, the process is already working. So they dance for Harinam, they took books, now they are asking prasadam. Without their knowledge. So it's working. So this is the way to instruct faithless persons about the glory. We don't instruct them about the secrecies of the holy name, but we loudly do Sankirtan. And because of the Kirtan, because of the Nada or the music, they will start dancing unknowingly, because actually they are dancing to the transcendental sound vibration actually. And the last is, to not have faith in chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and maintain material attachments even after understanding so many instructions on this matter. So this is also another apradh, and this happens because of conditioning. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says is, one must actually follow the instructions of the spiritual master and follow the four regulative principles very strictly to come out of this apradh. So these are the offenses. But what is that we will miss if we commit these offenses? We will miss that prema bhakti. What is that prema bhakti that we have to understand? It's a very auspicious day today. It is 18th of September. What is it? It is the beginning of Purushottam month. We have been hearing about the glories of this month from many devotees around the world. And definitely this month is glorious. In the shastras, usually there is astronomical calculations that they do. And generally in the Vedic parlance, they have two calendars, the Sauraman and the Chandraman, the solar and the lunar calendars. And generally after 33 months, these calendars are equated, because there is always a discrepancy between the movements of the moon and the sun. So when they do this, they get about 30 days, 29 days in excess based on the calculation. And therefore, an extra month is added. They do it in the modern calendar as well. You know how you get a leap year, they add 4 days every 4 years. So we add a month every certain time. So we have our different calculations. We don't add 4 days to February or something like that. You know, February has 30 days sometimes and sometimes 29. Although there is no logic of why August has 31 and January has 31. So they've added, because these are all you know, emperors. Julius Caesar wanted one extra day, so they added one for July. Augustus Caesar wanted one extra day, so August has 31 days. So they added 31 for some months and 30 for certain months. It's not, Vedic calculations are not unscientific like that. It's very scientific. So this month does pop up every now and then after 33 months. There's a detailed calculation, you can Google it out in the internet. So this was initially, there are two types of shastras that Bhaktivinoda Thakur says. What are they? One type of shastra are called as Smartha Shastras, and the second type of shastra is called as Paramartha Shastras. The section of Smartha Shastras majorly focus on karmakandic activities. What auspicious samskaras one must do, what are the time, place and circumstance one must do. So they have for every day Mahurta. Mahurta means the time period when you have to do certain activities. It's all defined for all the 12 months, for all the 24 hours of the day, it's been defined. But what happens is when the extra month comes out, there is nothing defined for that month. So what they called this month as Adhikamas or Malamas. So say, oh, we are not doing any samskaras on this month. So it's actually a bad month. It is kind of a dirt. So just don't do anything during this month. That is one way of hammering the point to people to say, focus on the karmakanda activities, because they have karma adhikar. But on the other side, the devotees see everything in relation to Krishna. Nothing is useless in one sense, because when we see everything, matter in relation to Krishna, it becomes auspicious. So they saw that this Adhikamas, that means in this month we have got one extra month. Wow! So we can do the worship of the Lord even more better, or 29 days extra now. So therefore, the devotees take up to Paramartha Shastras. So we do not worry about Karmakandi activities. So there is no time that is inauspicious for doing Harinam or for doing worship of Radha and Krishna. So therefore, devotees take up this month as very auspicious. And they say, it is written in the Shastras, that this month initially was called as Adhikamas, Malamas. Some people also called it Choramas. Chora means thief. It's just added just like that, extra. But devotees have unique way of dovetailing all of this into Krishna consciousness. Therefore, it is also written in the Shastras that this is a glorious month to perform Radha Krishna worship. Therefore, devotees sing Chaurashtakam in this month. And Bilwa Mangal Thakur writes this Chaurashtakam, which is such a sweet bhajan. We all can do this bhajan every day. It starts like this. Vraje prasiddham navaneta chauram gopanganam chadukola chauram aneka janmarjita papa chauram chauragraganyam purusham namami Shri Radhikaya Purushas Shri Radhikaya Hridayasya Chauram Navam Budhashamala Kanti Chauram Padashritanam Chasamasta Chauram Chauragraganyam Purusham Namami. So this is a beautiful bhajan that one can sing during this month of Purushottamas. But we have not left the point of why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave this mantra to us. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Bhaktivinoda Thakur again, so this is His Holiness Gaur Govind Maharaj writes that this mantra is just not Namasankirtan. It is just not Namasankirtan. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give us something more than Namasankirtan. And what is that? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give us Prema Namasankirtan. Why? Because when we chant Hare Krishna and Rama, the seeds of this mantra, Hare Krishna and Rama. Hare means who? Hare means Radharani, the pleasure potency of the Lord. And Rama and Krishna means who? Krishna himself. So therefore, there are the holy names that we chant, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give us this garland of holy name. And what is this garland called as? It is called as Prema Nama Mala. How is this Prema Nama Mala? Because we have the holy names here, right? And they are the sadhana. What is the sadhana? We chant the holy names of the Lord on the beads, just as the beads. And how are these beads strung? How is the Japamala strung? Using a thread. Now Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that that thread is Prema. So between every Nama, there should be Prema. So when we say Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Rama, Rama, Rama Hare Hare, and go to the next bead, the gap between that bead is Prema. What is that Prema? That Prema is actually the Prema of Radharani. That love, that conjugal love that Radharani exuberates towards Krishna. Because all devotees have Prema. Even Hanuman has Prema to the Lord. But among all this Prema, the greatest Prema is that of the gopis. And among that Prema, the highest is Mahabhava, which is Radharani's Prema. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came here to give us that Prema. And that is why our movement, our acharyas are about Prema Bhakti. What Prema Bhakti? It is Radharani's Prema. So he came to give us that Prema Nama Sankirtan. It is just not Nama Sankirtan. Therefore, the Acharyas say that one has to chant the holy names with utmost humility. That is why in the Sikshashtakam, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Trinadapi Sunichena Taroriva Sahishnuna Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadaharihi. So the qualification one must have to chant the holy name is to chant in humility. Trinadapi. Trinadapi Sunichena, like the grass, like a blade of grass, one should approach the holy name with utmost humility and with lot of loving reciprocation to this, to Krishna. One must have the thirst to say the Trishna, to see Krishna. I want to have that Bhagavat Anubhava, that Bhagavat Anubhava. I want to experience Krishna. One needs to have that thirst to say, I want to experience Krishna. It is possible through this name, through this form of Harinam Sankirtan, through this form of Hare Namanu Kirtanam. I want to experience that. So with this thirst of Krishna, one must chant with prema and humility, one anukirtanam. So one may then be able to taste what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give us. Actually, it's one of the most secretive of the secrets that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give us, this Prema Nama Sankirtan. And what a best way to get it, because among the three Purushottamas, the Maryada Purushottam, the Leela Purushottam, and the Prema Purushottam, the best way and the highest goal to achieve is Prema Purushottam and the Prema Puman, the Prema Bhakti of the Supreme Lord. So with this, I'll stop here. So I pray that the Supreme Lord, Prema Purushottam, bestows all of us that Prema Bhakti and blesses us to chant the holy name with utmost attentiveness, with utmost humility, and utmost prema, so that we all can experience that Bhagavat Anubhava, that experience of Krishna on our tongues and our hearts. So with this, I'll stop here. If there are any questions or comments, we can take it. Grantha Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Prabhu, it's said it's an offense to disobey the order of the spiritual master.
Yes, ma'am.
So Prabhupada has given us general instructions as well. So if we don't follow them, it's bad.
yes and no. That is the understanding to have, especially in the Vaishnava Sampradaya. We always have personal gurus as well. One who is a Diksha Guru. So when you have a Diksha Guru, you can take personal instructions. Of course, the general instructions can be general, but when there is some personal instruction, it's also better. If there is a conflict of interest between the general instruction and my following, I better clarify it with some advanced Vaishnava, so that apparent conflict can be resolved. That's a nice way of resolving it, is my understanding.
So like this general instructions, like waking up early and very early.
Yes.
Things like that. So even simple instructions like that, general instructions, you're saying that and to consult if we can't follow.
Yeah. For example, I have a few close associates whom I discuss with. So when I have a problem waking up, I discuss with them. I say, I'm generally very lazy to wake up, but I want to wake up, but I can't. Then there are two ways to understand this. Either I have a problem with my physical body, I have a problem, maybe I go to bed late, or I have some ailments with me with which I can't match the instruction, or I'm basically lazy. Pramada, illusion, or laziness, or lethargy. So this can be worked out if we discuss this among the third instruction that Rupa Goswami gives, a nectar of instruction, Guhyam Makhyati Prachati. So to discuss this with a confidential associate, with someone whom you confide with, and then they can tell you, yes, Mataji or Prabhuji, I think this is lethargy. I will help you. I'll wake you up, and we'll also wake up and sit and chanting together, or something like that. So we are in it together, and the beauty of this movement is we are in it together. It's teamwork, and when it is a team, it's actually fun, and it is joyously performed. And when someone else is doing, like today, I think many of our devotees chanted starting from 3 a.m. in the morning. We all logged on online and we started doing chanting. So it is a nice way, because we take inspiration from each other. And that's the beauty of Sadhu Sangha.
Yes, ma'am.
I'll just ask part of time to time, but even with chanting 16 rounds without offense, that is also something that needs to be discussed.
Yeah, it so happens that in the Shastras it is said, when we actually spell out our shortcomings, we are actually in one way nullifying our offenses. Because if someone says, Prabhu, I committed this offense, the mere fact that I have spoken this out about my offense, it shows that I'm repentant about it. So there is already purification happening just by spelling out that offense to someone. It's almost like you're coming and speaking to the deities, my dear Lord, I committed this offense. But when you speak it to an advanced Vaishnava, maybe I'll get that reciprocation because the Supreme Lord is there within him as well. And maybe that advanced Vaishnava will instruct me in some way so that I can rectify. So speaking out an offense with some confidential associate also is very purifying. I personally do it. Sometimes I feel shy to do it, but sometimes it's better we do it actually for our own purification.
Thank you. The question is from an online viewer. Why Vyasadeva was not happy after writing all the scriptures if everything written is about God?
Okay. Why Vyasadeva was not happy? There are many ways to understand this. I'll tell you one simple way to understand this. When a grandson comes, and grandson is also very learned, when the grandfather acts as if he's morose, and the grandson says, why are you morose, grandfather? And the grandfather says, I don't know why I'm morose, you know. I know why you're morose. You should write Srimad Bhagavatam. Oh yes, you're right. I'm very happy that you've told me this. I should do it, what you said. So in one way, Vedavyasa was enacting a leela with Narada Muni so that Srimad Bhagavatam can come out. That's one way of understanding it. The second way, Vedavyasa is the Supreme Lord himself. So he would know it. So there are many ways to understand. One way to understand is to actually guide us that the supremacy of Srimad Bhagavatam among all the scriptures, because it is the Vedanta Sara. Shruti Saram Ekam. So sometimes in the Shastras, to say something is better than something else, one is given a lower position than the other. But it doesn't mean this is lower. That we have to understand. But sometimes when you compare a comparative study, you can say that this is better, but that doesn't mean this is lower. What it means is, of course this is better, but this is the best. Just take this, this is enough. So that is what the understanding, my understanding is. Does it answer, Mathur?
Yeah, it answers, and it also answers a question that I had, which was our viewpoint on Vedas. So wanting to know what should the devotee see the Vedas as, because one may say it's come from the bringing of the Lord,
yeah,
and through Lord Brahma as well, and very exalted descriptions. And then on the other hand, in Bhagavad Gita it says flowering words of Vedas.
Okay, we have to be very careful when we understand. Traigunya Vishaya Veda, Anistraigunya Bhavarjuna, Nirdvando Nitya Sattvasto. Now, when Krishna said that, what it means is the flowery words of the Vedas means one who only concentrates on the Karma Kandiya sections of the Vedas. Now, Vedas has four sections: Brahmanas, Upanishads, Samhitas, and the Upanishad, Brahmana, Aranyakas, Upanishads and the Samhitas. In among these three, there are Brahmanas which are ritualistic. If you only concentrate on the rituals of the Vedas and not understand the tattva behind it, which is said and expounded in the Upanishads, then you will get caught up in the flowery words of the Vedas. That is what it means. Not that the Vedas are wrong, but you are only Ardha Kakuti Nyaya. I am only interested in the rituals of the Vedas, but not the message of why I have to do these rituals. That becomes a very constricted approach to the Vedas. That's what Krishna is suggesting. And one might get carried away with these rituals. That's what Krishna says. Because finally Krishna says, among the Vedas to serve Rahame. So it seems contradictory. It's not contradictory, because sometimes you will see, generally in India we see a lot of people follow Vedic rituals without even understanding the underlying tattva behind those rituals.
Because the Sarvatra Hari Giyate, actually every ritual, every scripture is talking about Sri Hari, that they do not know. Why? Because they have not spent the time to understand it in Tattva, by understanding the Upanishads of that. That's why Krishna has milked all the Upanishads and gave us the Gita Upanishad. So one has to understand the scriptures from a perspective of understanding Hari. To keep Hari as the goal of the study of scriptures, then every scripture becomes glorious. Thank you, Master.
Prabhu, we have two questions.
Yes, sir.
From Arvinda Prabhu, President of our temple.
Yes, sir.
First question is, who wrote or composed Churashtakam? Who is the author of Churashtakam that you do?
It is Billwa Mangal Thakur. Billwa Mangal Thakur is the author of Churashtakam. I think I've got it here. Yeah, it is Churashtakam by Billwa Mangal Thakur.
And the second question is, who is recommending that we chant the Churashtakam in this month, Purushottam month?
Okay. I'm chanting because it's a nice bhajan to chant. It's a bhajan. I've seen certain devotees do that, and they also do that because they call it as Choramas. And because when devotees hear it's Choramas, the sound Chora reminds them of the transcendental thief Krishna. And then, and this is a very nice reminder that Billwa Mangal Thakur wrote this song in glorification of the transcendental thief. So it's a nice way to increase our taste towards Krishna. So all this has to contribute to our chanting of the holy name. So this helps us to understand Krishna a little better. The more we know a person better, the more we can relate to him better. For example, if I remember my mother's picture comes to me. Why? Because I know about my mom. So the more I know about Krishna, the more I can sweetly connect to him. So anything that augments this process, I take it. So like Churashtakam, or there is Madhurashtakam, Madhuram Madhurebhyo, Kevalashtakam, which glorifies the holy name. So if we have spare time, we can chant these bhajans of the acharyas, which increases our taste in chanting. So finally, all this has to culminate in our pure chanting of the Lord. So if it is contributing to my Shuddha Naam, it can be taken. That's how I have taken it, probably. I hope Anil Prabhu is okay with that answer. Or I'm happy to be corrected if that's not the right understanding. Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Ananda Koti Vaishnava Vrinda ki jai, Nita Gaur Premanande. Purushottam Maas ki jai.